Anyone who believes in God has heard the theory about trusting in Him. The theory's easy. It's the practice that takes some learning. So how can we learn to trust Him, not just in theory, but in practice? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at your faith journey from a different perspective. I was recently confronted with a situation that really tested my faith. You see, I don't want you to think that just because I happen to be this smooth voice on the radio, that I somehow get an exemption stamp on my passport from the turbulence of the journey. In fact, probably the opposite's the case. Because I'm out here sharing the fantastic news of Jesus with people all around the world every day of the week through these radio programs, our enemy the devil's got me in his sights. I reckon I've got a target painted on my chest as far as he's concerned. So here's what was going on. It's one particular country, one of the world's most populous countries, where our team has been working to get these programs to air on a radio station with a huge audience. I mean, the daily audience for this program was going to be over 1 million people. That's actual listeners. Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, one listener's a big deal to me. 1 million? Can't even begin to imagine that many people. Okay, it's a big deal. We've been working on this for 2 years, this project, including finding translators and a voice to record the messages in the local vernacular language. Quite an investment of time and effort and money. And then the day came when finally the radio network in question accepted the program and placed it in a prime time slot. Amazing stuff. We rejoiced. We gave thanks, really. It had been such a long road and so much was at stake. So many lives, so many people to hear the good news of Jesus. But on the first day we were due to go to air, they told us, well, we can accept the program for the moment, but in a few weeks' time, we're having a review of the externally provided programs that we take right across the network, and we don't know what that's going to mean for you. When our team in that country got in touch with me to tell me the news, they were completely gutted. I can understand how they felt, all that effort, and now, all of a sudden, the whole thing was up in the air again. Devastating. What would happen? I'll share my reaction to that whole thing with you in a moment. But first, I want to go to what Isaiah has to say into situations just like that. Remember, if you've been able to join me these past few programs, you'll know that Israel, at the point that we pick up their story, has now been in slavery in Babylon for 70 years, since about 586, 587 BC. And God comes to them through his prophet Isaiah, and he brings them some good news. The news that he's about to set them free, that they were about to return to the promised land. Whoop! You would think. But just like you and me, when everything's bleak, they struggled to digest the good news. You know what it's like when all your circumstances are screaming doom and gloom at you. It's very hard to believe that something good's about to happen. Even if you believe in God, even if you've put your trust in Jesus, even if you've heard a million sermons on trusting God, when your Goliath comes stomping into your life with weapons of mass destruction pointed right at you, yeah, believing that God is there to protect you, that God has a good plan for your life, is not particularly easy. And it wasn't easy for Israel way back then, and it's not easy for you and me today. So here's what God says to his people through the prophet Isaiah. Have a listen. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. You see, they were going to leave Babylon and their slavery behind. But how does that actually happen? They've been wondering. Babylon's the world's global power of the day, the superpower, the most fearsome and powerful army on the planet. Are we going to have to run for our lives? Are some of us going to be killed? How's it going to happen? It's all well and good for Isaiah to be carrying on about this good news, but what if the guy's nuts? What if he's wrong? What if God doesn't show up? Have you ever had those thoughts? Have they crossed your mind when you've been between a rock and a hard place and you've read God's word and heard some good news and you thought, well, you know, but how's all that going to work? Well, that's what Israel were going through. And so God points back to a time when he's done exactly that same thing for them before. He's pointing back to a time in their history that every man, woman, and child knows from top to bottom, inside out, back to front, because it's been handed down from generation to generation for centuries. He's pointing back to the Exodus, of course, to their escape from Egypt. Remember? They fled and God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and so the greatest army of that time, Egypt, came after them. In front of them was the Red Sea, a totally uncrossable body of water for 1 million men, women, and children. And behind them, coming up fast, was the mightiest army on the planet. Here it is, Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. This is the story the Israelites were remembering when Isaiah was speaking to them. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night ever left its place at the front of the people. So, God went ahead of them, but what about the rear as the Egyptians closed in? Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. The angel of the Lord who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night, and one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all the night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. See, there it is. God went ahead of them. And then when they had trouble behind, God moved and went behind them between them and the Egyptian army. He led them and opened the way, and he protected them from attack from the rear. So when God now promises all these centuries later to do exactly the same, what's he doing? Is he asking the Israelites to rely on blind faith? Is he asking them to conjure up a courage that they don't have? No. He's asking them to look back at what he's already done. That's the amazing thing with God. He never takes us to a point where we can't take it. Each challenge, he comes through. And so next time, when the challenge is bigger and scarier than last time, he says to us, look back on what I've already done in your life. See, we forget that each time. We forget he's already proven himself faithful and true. Oh, yeah, he did that last time. Of course, and in fact, as I look back, he's always come through. He's always been there. He's always somehow made a way and made it happen. And there is the bedrock of our faith this time. When I heard that bad news about that radio program in that country, here's my reaction. I said to our staff, we have seen this happen so many times. Today, God has tens of millions of people listening to this very same program that you're listening to right now in over 160 countries around the world. There were so many times when we shouldn't have ended up on radio stations, and God opened the door. God went ahead of us. And there are so many times when this ministry should have folded because there weren't enough resources. But God brought up our rear. He trained me to trust him over and over again by putting me deliberately between a rock and a hard place and showing me that he would show up and make things happen. You know what? After a while, even someone as spiritually thick as me starts to get it. We don't have to listen to the theory, because God has a plan to show us in practice over and over again. And when he does, he proves himself true. He teaches us in our experience that this verse is absolutely true. For you shall not go out in haste. You shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. God is teaching us to stop sweating it. He's teaching us that at each and every transition and trial and temptation, that he is faithful and true. What an awesome dad. What an awesome God. In a world where we've come to believe that success equals blessing, hey, it can be tough to figure out what God is actually up to during those difficult times in our lives. But what if those dark times are the greatest opportunity that he'll ever hand us? The opportunity to draw closer to him in such a special way. The opportunity to experience a depth and a richness of his blessing that we never imagined possible. What if? That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of the special edition book that Christianity Works recently published. It's called Discovering Blessings in Strange Places, and it's all about helping you lay hold of the incredible blessings of God, even in those dark times. In fact, especially in the dark times. To request your free copy, visit ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.